coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
According to his own account and his own accounting of his task, this man, who may not himself have been an eyewitness to the events about which he writes, says that he goes to the eyewitnesses. He makes a careful accounting. He wants to be able to tell this story not only in an orderly fashion, but also in an accurate fashion. Not that it hasn't been told accurately before, but he wants to make sure that as he retells the story of Jesus' birth, of his life, of his suffering, of his death, and his resurrection, that he does it in a way that not only is accurate to history, but accurate to the man that he wants to tell us about. And he does this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, producing not only his gospel, the Gospel of Luke, but also the Acts of the Apostles that are chapter 2 to the Gospels themselves. Now, we find this at the opening of the New Testament, and Luke is there as one of those men that one of the four that we call the evangelists. He's remembered by the church on the 18th of October and joining us in advance of that celebration to remember Luke the evangelist, Dr. Peter Scare. He's associate professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Scare, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks much. Good to be with you, Todd.
Where do you think Luke gets all the information he says he has gathered together carefully and arranged for his gospel?
Well, you bring up a good point, and I guess we have to talk about this as Christians. We call our scriptures apostolic. That is to say, we claim that our scriptures are based on the eyewitness accounts. Our gospels are based on eyewitness accounts of the story of Jesus Christ, people who were there on the scene. And that's not the eyewitness account of one, but we have multiple sources. And in the case of Matthew and John, they're both members of they're both apostles. They're both numbered among the 12. So they were with our Lord during his three-year ministry. Luke is a little bit different. Luke is, as you say, a companion of Paul, also an apostle. But he writes in a different way. He writes as an historian. So he mentions eyewitnesses. That's to say, his account is based on, he has to do the work of an historian and do a little research. So he goes to the people who were there at the time. And as far as an orderly account, I think it's kind of interesting. He says many have undertaken to write an orderly account. My guess is he really means Matthew there, because nothing is more orderly than the Gospel of Matthew. It's broken up into five sections. Now, Luke is going to tell a little bit different kind of an account. It's going to be a history. It's really a history not only of the story of Jesus, but the story of Jesus as the founder of the Christian church. And he's telling this story to a largely Gentile Christian world, saying, how did we get here? We are with our church, let's say in Rome or in Ephesus. How is it that the Christian church came into being? And he tells that story. And it is based on, as he says, those eyewitnesses, those people who saw it. And so he had to do some research. And I think, for instance, he's talking in his infancy narrative, he's talking to people like to Mary herself, the mother of our Lord. And like there are little interesting things. For instance, it says in the infancy narrative concerning Mary, she took all these things and she pondered, stored them up and pondered them in her heart, which means that they were really relying on, that Luke was relying on there, the eyewitness, I suppose, not of the apostles, but of Mary for the story of Jesus as an infant and then also later as a 12-year-old child.
do we, since we do know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Luke is one of Paul's traveling companions, we have these famous we's in the book of Acts, also authored by Luke. Can we detect, if we study Luke and Paul together, perhaps traces of Paul's own preaching, although Paul would have had these things probably by way of special revelation from Christ himself. But is Paul's preaching in evidence any place in the Gospel of Luke?
You know, I don't like to go that route, and that's the kind of the way I was taught. But I think in a way it does a disservice to Luke, because I think too often Luke is thought of as like the junior companion of Paul, which of course in a way he is. But I think the thing about Luke is he's his own man. So that, interestingly, I teach the Gospel of Mark, and I love teaching Mark as well. When I read the Gospel of Mark, and Mark was actually, he did travel with Paul very early on when he was a young man, and then he got kicked out of the group by Paul later. But I think when you read the Gospel of Mark, it shows a lot of evidence of Pauline-type phrasing, the way Paul preaches. I don't think Luke is like that. Really, Paul is kind of the preacher, the prophet, the straw. I mean, he's the guy who from the pulpit is going to say what needs to be said. With Luke, though, it's a different kind of preaching. It's a preaching that has sweetness in it and beauty, and he's a storyteller. And he really does work on the heart in a different kind of a way. So I mean, he was a great supporter of Paul. But he's a different kind of a fellow. Let's put it that way.
Do we have a firm idea of when Luke would have written his account and its relationship to the other Gospels?
Yeah, this is a matter of some controversy. If you get a standard textbook, you'll hear that Mark was the first around 70 A.D., and then Matthew and Luke followed, maybe Luke around 90. I don't think that's right. My guess is Luke is writing off of Matthew. That's to say, what were Luke's sources? Well, one of Luke's sources, I think, is an obvious one. He knew the Gospel of Matthew. So he was able to use that as a kind of base and then, you know, tell his story a little bit differently. At the same time, I think that I would place Luke around the year 58 to 60, and I would place it the same time that Paul writes Romans. And the epistle to Romans is a letter really of reconciliation. There he's telling largely Gentile Christians that they need to come to peace with the Jewish church. There's that beautiful section in Romans 9 through 11. And there Paul is reminding the people, he says, you know, we're part of this vine, which is the church, but we're grafted onto Israel. We're grafted onto the Old Testament people. We are their spiritual heirs. And I think that that's what Luke is trying to do. He presents the Christian people as the natural heirs or successors to the Jewish people as the people of God. So he presents Israel in a very positive light. I mean, when you look at Zechariah and Simeon and Anna, they are all devout, wonderful people who are looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And it's from those good roots that Christianity then springs forth.
So it may, in fact, be occasioned by an effort on both Luke and Paul's part to...
Yeah, that's... Well, you there I have to give it to you. I think you're right there. There is an example of... Two different authors, but companions who are tackling this same question. And it's, again, we might take it for granted what a great thing Luke did. But I can easily envisage, Gentile Christians saying, I don't want to have anything more to do with that Jewish faith, with that old circumcision, with those sacrifices. And I could see them saying, throwing out the Old Testament entirely and saying, we want the New Testament, we want Jesus Christ. And I think Paul in Romans, and you're right, and Luke in his gospel, and then in the book of Acts, shows we shouldn't think that way. The Old Testament people, we are part of, they're part of us, and we're part of them. We are part of the one family of God. So that the story of Abraham is our story, the story of Moses is our story. And so we really are first, like Paul says in yeah, like you say, Paul says in Romans, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, but it's a natural progression.
I remember one of my seminary professors, and feel free to disagree because I know seminary professors disagree with each other all the time, but one of mine said, one of the most unfortunate accidents of the arrangement of the New Testament is the interjection of John's gospel, as good as it is, between Luke and Acts, because Luke and Acts are intended to be viewed as two parts of one continuous work. With about a minute here, do you agree?
Your question was that one of the accidents, canonically, was that Luke and Acts were separated. And it is an interesting question because the two works do belong together. At least when I think about the way Luke wrote, he is writing with the end in mind. For instance, when he begins his gospel, he's writing in a very Greco-Roman. I think he's already thinking of the way Acts will end, where it ends in Rome. And even the way, think about the way he tells his birth story. Jesus is born during the days of Caesar. In those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Once you talk about Caesar Augustus, you're already talking about the Roman emperor, which means that Jesus' birth is going to have an impact not only on Israel, but upon the whole Roman Empire, upon the whole world. So in that sense, I do think Luke and Acts belong together. The fact that the church, though, decided to divide it, I think, is instructive. Because of this, is Acts is not on the same level as Luke. Acts is a wonderful story. I love to teach Acts. I mean, I've been teaching Acts now for a few years, and it's fascinating. But we don't stand for the reading of the book of Acts. It's this continuing story of the church, but it is not on the same level as the telling of the story of the life of our Lord. So I think for that reason, it was separated.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Peter Scare. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll turn to the addressee of these two books, Luke and Acts, Theophilus. Is he a real person or is he just a literary device? We'll answer that question with Dr. Peter Scare as we remember the evangelist Luke on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 16th.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. the hymn, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house, sung by the Cantorai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's a website and a radio station that is nothing but the sacred music of the church 24/7 and 365 days a year. It follows the church's calendar, right now paying Pentecost and Trinity season music, and Advent music will come with the season of Advent beginning Sunday, December the 2nd at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're remembering the evangelist and historian Luke, author of the Gospel According to Luke. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest, a character that we find at the very beginning who is the addressee of these letters, both of them, Luke and Acts, Theophilus. Dr. Scare, is he a real person, or is he just a literary device to address the general reader?
Well, Todd, I do think, I would say it's a real person, and I guess there's some question, or has been some question about it, because of the name, Theophilus, which means, Theo means God, the Philos part is love, so is the name, he's writing to a lover of God, or to one who is loved by God. Now, my guess is Theophilus might have received this name if he were a pagan. He might have received this name in his baptism. And now Theophilus, I think, is a very real person. What he would have done for Luke is something very necessary. He would have been the patron for Luke. That is to say, he would have provided the financial backing. And certainly, you know, in our churches, we need people like this. In your radio show, people donate their money, and by doing that, they're able to enable the gospel to be preached via the airwaves, you know, all over the world. And Theophilus is just that kind of a person, I think. He is a person who is a catechumen, he has become a Christian, and now supporting Luke's great work, enabling him to write this great gospel and the book of Acts.
How much hay should we make of the fact that Paul at one point refers to Luke as the physician?
You know, it can be overplayed, I think. I think Luke is the physician. As long as we remember first, he's the evangelist. That's why I like the way you've been discussing him. He's the gospel writer. He writes a fourth of the New Testament. Now, you know, people have made some note. For instance, they say, well, Luke does display a little extra knowledge when it comes to Jesus' healing ministry. I don't think that's all that significant. One thing I suppose we could gather from that is Luke does show that Jesus' ministry really is kind of all-inclusive. That's to say, he has come to forgive our sins and bring us, in that sense, also healing of body and soul. So if there's a great physician, it's if Luke is a physician, it should all the more remind us, though, that Jesus, in fact, finally is the great physician of body and soul.
What do we know about Luke's relationship to St. Paul? We've talked a little bit about it already, but we're given to believe that in the first part of Acts, he's not writing from direct eyewitness knowledge of the events that he's recording. And then at some point, he's with Paul, indicated by this plural first-person pronoun, we, and then that drops off again and it becomes third-person again. What do we know about this relationship?
Well, Luke is, I guess we'd have to say, is the junior partner, but he is a great aide for Paul in his ministry. And I think their personalities balanced, you know, in the sense that Paul has such a strong personality. I think he needed somebody who was kind of on the gentler side. And Luke is that person. And but now Luke is a companion of Paul, and he's, I think, even when he's writing his gospel, he's already thinking of the ministry of Paul, so that as he writes the climactic phrase of the gospel, the book of Acts is, and so we came to Rome. The idea is, and that's not just Paul, but by we, it's Paul and Luke, really the entire Christian movement, the Christian church, as they're encapsulated in this pair, this, I guess, missionary pair. So Luke is there. We have other evidence. You know, he is his own man. He's on Paul's missionary journeys, but he's also serving as pastor, and, you know, he's a minister in his own right.
The book of Acts seems to, and maybe I'm being too hard on the end of the book, but it seems to kind of trail off. And many have noted that it does end, while, you know, giving such great promise in the opening, it's very beautifully written, thematically written, and then ends kind of with a whimper. Do you agree?
Well, you know, I teach the book of Acts, and I'm going to make a vow the next time I teach the book of Acts that I'm going to start like in chapter 15 or 16, because I never get to the end, because I think you're right. The stuff, it's so front-loaded, the dynamic stuff, it seems like it's all there at the beginning. But then the ending, the way it ends, is absolutely magnificent, because it shows you a picture of what the church is like. That is to say, the church finally gets to Rome, and it should be a triumphant procession, just like when Jesus goes to Jerusalem. It should be a triumphant procession. Aha, the church is coming to Rome, the capital of the empire, and the gospel is going to sweep forward. Well, it doesn't happen that way. They get to Rome, but Paul's under house arrest. So Paul is in prison. Now, does that mean it's the end of the story? No, because Paul continues to preach while he's in prison, under house arrest. He continues to speak the word of God. And I think that's a picture of the church. We're not triumphalists. That's to say, there's never going to come a day when everybody's going to love the church and everybody's going to love us for preaching the gospel. If you're looking for that, you know, you've gone to the wrong place. What's going to happen, though, is the church is continually to be persecuted. The church will continue to have obstacles and undergo suffering. However, in the midst of that suffering, like St. Paul at the end, he's under house arrest, but in the midst of that, the gospel continues to be preached. And that's the message of Acts. So it does end, it kind of trails off, but I think it's also a way of saying, you know what, we're still living the book of Acts. The history of God's people, the church, continues beyond the 28th chapter, whatever it is, that we're continuing to live the story of God's church as the gospel is being proclaimed throughout the world.
You've talked about the remarkable features of Luke's gospel that set it apart or distinguish it from the other gospel writers. One of them for me is the post-resurrection Emmaus account, which is unknown in the other gospels, at least we're given to believe, and have led some to wonder whether or not Luke might be pseudonymously telling his own post-resurrection appearance story here, that he may well have been one of the hangers-on among the larger group of disciples, and he's telling his story of seeing the risen Christ. Do you buy it, or do you think it's just more good research on the part of this extraordinary historian?
Well, I think it's theologically that story of the Emmaus account is so important for Luke that he would have included it, whether he himself was. It's not simply him writing himself on the scene, because in that wonderful scene, Jesus, the risen Lord, is made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And it's a way of saying, and this is a Lucan theme, we're on a journey in life. Life is a pilgrimage. You know, step by step we walk, but we walk with our Lord. And as we're walking with our Lord, on this faith walk, if you want to call it that, our Lord continues to preach to us in the church, and he continues to make himself known in the breaking of the bread. But now, was Luke part of the scene during Jesus' ministry? I think that's a good possibility. There is the ancient writer Hippolytus, when he lists the Luke is the one in Luke 10, I believe, who lists that Jesus says that Jesus sent out 70 disciples or 70 men out. And I don't think those are just 70 Christians. You know, I think that they are actually 70 seminarians. But Jesus not only had 12 apostles, but he was continuing to call men into the ministry so that when he left, the church would go forward. And Hippolytus, interestingly, he does mention Luke as one of the 70. So, you know, I wouldn't bet the bank house on it, but I think it's a good possibility that Luke was there with Jesus during parts of his ministry.
Dr. Peter Scare is assistant professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, joined us to talk about the man that the church is remembering tomorrow. And by way of remembering Luke, we remember the one of whom he wrote and the one he proclaimed, Jesus Christ. Dr. Scare, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
How would you like to kill two birds with one stone? You could both advertise your congregation on Issues Etc. You hear those advertisements during the breaks. You could also help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. When your congregation becomes congregational sponsor of Issues Etc., that's called joining the Issues Etc. 300. Now, you do it as a congregation. That means someone has to go to the congregation and ask the congregation to include Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget to the tune of $1,000 or more per year. Now, time is of the essence. Many congregations begin their new fiscal year in January and are making those plans right now. A perfect time to ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. Find out more, how to do it, and there's a great tool for that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. There's a one-page flyer you can download and print off and take to your congregation and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. This is really the backbone of support for this worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. And we need as many congregations to support us in this way as possible. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastors Joel Frischi and Mark Buto about the parable of the wedding feast from Matthew's Gospel. It's our Pastor's Roundtable tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, it's fitting that an historian would write a gospel, not just an evangelist, but also an historian, because this is how Christ came. He came in history. He can be found in history. He can be examined and he can be explored and he can be researched in real history. And he comes into real history, not just as a footnote to history, but as the period at the end of the sentence. And it comes right there 2,000 years ago when he lays down his life at the cross. That's the point of history. Christ saving the world by entering into it, into our humanity, and ultimately into our death. He lives again, and history goes on now in him. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.